either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
Being mindful of the brothers praying Salah, if the brothers can come forward. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi allazina astafa amma ba'd fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim ra'aita an-nasa yadkhuluna fi dinillahi afwaja sadaqallahu al-azim سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, inshallah ta'ala, in our session tonight, we will cover a very important mawzu, a very important topic, that as a minority, how we should live with the majority in any country. How the minority should live with the majority in any country. This is something which is very, very important. Sometimes you will find that an individual will do something and that will give a bad name, it will tarnish the image of that entire community. And so it is very, very important that as individuals we become responsible. Responsibility is given to us. You'll find in many parts of the world that you might even have citizenship, that you might even have the passport, the nationality of that country, but you are still from amongst those who are considered to be a minority when it comes to your religious identity. So inshallah ta'ala, we will be looking at this term minority in reference to the religious framework. So for an example, in the United Kingdom, the population of this country is around 66 million, around 66 million. Although Islam is the second largest religion in this country, but still the Muslims are a minority. Muslims are a minority. So we are only 4.5% of the 66 million of the population of this country, United Kingdom. 4.5%. So you are a minority in this country. So someone who is from amongst those who is in the minority, and you have others that are from amongst the majority, how are we to assimilate? How are we to live? What is our duty? Now you can be in any part of the world. You can be in Europe, you can be in India. Even in India, the Muslims are a minority. And so you can be in any part of the world someone who is from the minority in his religious identity, how are we to live? Now, what is very important, my respected brothers, is that as Muslims, we look into the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Muslims are around 2.5 million, 2.7 million in this country. In fact, France has a higher Muslim population than England. And that is why under no circumstances will Turkey be allowed to be part of the European Union. Otherwise, the demography then changes of Europe completely. But khair, when we look into the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, now I want the brothers to listen very, very carefully. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life is an example for us. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. The Quran says that the best example for you is in the dhat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So if you look at the demography and Arabia during the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how did he deal with this situation? So we have an understanding of what is our duty when we are in a minority. And we have an example also of what we have to do when we are in a majority. So we won't look at the majority right now. We have to look at the minority because we are a minority here. Nabuwat was given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam at the age of 40. At the age of 40. So we start from the age of 40. When Nabuwat was given to him, when he became a Nabi at the age of 40, he lived in the city of Makkah for 13 years. How many years? 13 years. Now for 13 years, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after Nabuwat, living in Makkah Mukarramah, the Muslims and the followers of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam were also a minority. What were they? Minority. So now we have to look at what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam did, because he is the best example for us. And when I say minority, whilst in Makkah Mukarramah, how many people had embraced Islam? Around 250, 260 people. How many people? 250, 260. The first to accept Islam was the wife. Then his best friend. Then his khadim. Then the cousin from the youth, Hazrat Ali. 250 Muslims. The Ahle Kufr, the Mushrikeen, was still a majority. Mushrikeen was still a majority. So brothers, we understand so far? In Makkah Mukarramah, how many years did he stay? After Nabuwat. When was Nabuwat given to him? 40. So how many people were his followers? 250. 250. Make it simple. 250 were his followers. So were the Muslims a majority or a minority? Very much a minority. Halaki, obviously in Makkah Mukarramah, everything was very different. Allah's Nabi was from amongst the indigenous population. He was from Arabia anyway. But we are talking about in terms of religion. So you had many tribes. But his followers, he was a minority. Then the hukam came from Allah that you are to migrate. So he migrates to a city which is called Medina Munawwara. There in Medina Munawwara, he stays for 10 years. How many years does he stay for? 10 years. Now, just to give you the statistics, even after migrating to Medina Munawwara, in the first 4 years of his stay in Medina, the people that were following him were in the region of 2,500 to 3,000. How many now? 2,500 to 3,000. In Makkah, how many? 250. In the first 4 years of going to Medina, how many? 2,500 to? This we are talking about the last Nabi. We are his followers in this island. Then if we go further into the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let us go to Hajjatul Wida. Hajjatul Wida. Allah's Nabi when he went for Hajj. Allah's Nabi when he went for Hajj from 2,500, 150,000 companions accompanied him for Hajj. How many? Demography statistics is sitting in your mind? 250, Makkah. First 4 years, 2,500. Then he goes to Hajj. When he goes to Hajj, how many are accompanying him? 150. Now in those days, you can't actually get the verification because they didn't have in those days a proper count of what we have nowadays of population and things like that. But to give you another example, by the time going into the last phase of the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a verse of the Quran was revealed, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will see with your eyes people that will enter in your religion in multitudes. In? So tribes were coming from every corner of Arabia, and in their hundreds and hundreds and hundreds were embracing Islam in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we see Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that in Arabia he was one. What was he? One from the Quraysh. One became two, three, four. And when Allah's Nabi was there in Makkah Mukarramah and also in the early years of Medina Munawwara, the Muslims were a minority. So let us look into the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when the Muslims were a minority, what discipline, what plan was cut out for the companions, what were they to do, what was their duty? What was the plan of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How is he to mix with that community who are known as the mushrikeen? How is he to assimilate? How are Muslims supposed to live with a group that has a complete different religious identity? Now, ulama have mentioned that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, what a great Nabi and how intelligent he was. The plan that was cut out for the companions was at three level. What was it? And these three levels we have to understand because inshaAllah ta'ala we have to work on this. The first thing what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, let's go back to the 250 of Makkah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worked very, very hard with that group of people that were a minority to make sure that this minority has got complete unity. What has it got? That was the first sabak. So where you are a minority and you have a majority that is different to you, the first thing Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam did is to make sure that all of them are united. All of them see with the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That there is no disunity amongst them. That is why, if you look at the statistics, how many people from amongst the 250 apostized or left their deen, you can't find any. But perhaps, if you were to give, you might say one or two. What is it? Possibly, that maybe one or two. But other than that, all of these people, 250 of Makkah Mukarrama, were like one strong wall. What were they? One strong wall. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first thing he taught is unity. So the first thing we have to do when we are a minority in this country is to make sure that we are not divided. We are not. We may have our differences. We may have our differences. No problem. Ikhtilaf is there. We may have our fiqh differences. We may have difference of opinion in masail, whatever. That is there. But the greater picture in which when someone is of the same brand and he worships Allah Pak and he loves Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he believes in the Quran in its entirety, then you have to give your shoulder to him. You have to give your shoulder to him. You have your differences. But that unity has to be there. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made them one very strong group of people. Nobody could break them. Now today what happens, my brothers, is that even if you look at in this country where you have the majority don't fear the Muslim community. They don't fear the Muslim community even when it comes to giving votes. Why? Because they know that the Muslims are divided also when giving votes. When giving votes, one man who is a member of the Labour Party and he is a Labour member, even if they go against his complete religion, no, I am going to vote for Labour. Kamal. And one man who has been part of the Conservative, he said, no, Conservative. One man who is Lib Dem, no, Lib Dem. Arey bhai. When you are going to be divided, when your votes are divided, you don't make a difference to the country at all, because they know that what difference does a Muslim make anyway? All of them are divided. Divided in different parties. But if all of the Muslims get together and decide, no, we all get together, this is the man we want as our MP. What is it? The whole community. Koi maka lal hai jo musalman ko touch kar sake. If all the Muslims decide, no, this is going to be our MP. He is going to be our mouthpiece in London. And if they all decide, we are not going to vote for any party, we are going to vote for that party in which we have to see first, how are they going to accommodate for us in our religious needs, and also then in our communal needs. First, our religious needs. And then as a community, what can you give us? What are you going to give us? Then we will vote. Then if the whole of the Muslim community decide, no, every one of us now, we have to vote here, then every party at the time of election will be scared. What will they? They will start to wonder, hang on, you know what, Mushtaq, am I speaking right? You know better. Huh? So, this is something that we have to understand. So Allah's Nabi was a, subhanallah, what can I say? He's the Nabi, the greatest human being. When it came to unity of that minority, Sahaba would not do anything against the wish of Rasulullah. Batsan mein aaya nahi. Whatever Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they would do. All of them, 250. Allah's Nabi said, go now to Medina. Yes. Allah's Nabi said, now go to Abyssinia. Yes. Allah's Nabi said, no, you go there, you go there. Yes. No questions asked. So as a minority, we have to be very intelligent. We have to be very, very clever. We have to play our cards right. Number two. So number one, what did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? Bole bhai. Unity. When Muslims were a minority, what did he do? He established unity amongst his group of the minority that were there. Everyone. You know, yesterday somebody was telling me that Maulvi Sahab, you know, somebody came. He's actually a Baba, and he said to me, Maulvi Sahab, you know, somebody came to the shop and I made salam to my Muslim brother. So this man is saying, I made salam to this brother. So he did not respond to me. He did not even say, wa alaikum salam. So he says, I said salam to you. Why you didn't say wa alaikum salam? He says, tu aili masjid no ne un a masjid no. What did he say? Tu aili masjid no ne un a masjid no. Allahu Akbar Kabira. That you pray in that masjid and I pray in that masjid. So when you say salam to me, my maulvis teach me that you are a kafir. And my maulvis teach me that the imams of Kaaba are a kafir. And my maulvis teach me that the imams of Masjid Aqsa are a kafir. When the imams of Kaaba are kafir, then what is left of the imams of Jamia Masjid, Masjid Umar, and the rest of the masjids? What are they going to be, Muslims? I'm asking you, Umar. If the Imam of Kaaba are kafir, are these Imams Muslims? So are you going to say salam to them? This is foolishness. What is it? Yes. If an alim sits here and he talks about what are the differences, that is there. But long-term picture, when it comes to that person who is the same with you, when it comes to loving Allah, when it comes to loving Rasulullah, when it comes to understanding that every ayat of the Quran is from Allah intact, and every sahabi we love. What is it? Every sahabi we love. That's it. Bhai, that is the greatest thing. Majority are the Muslims. Everyone's akidah is this. And then the rest is with Allah, whatever you do. Okay, number two. What did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? This, my respected brothers, is something that everyone here, we are of blame. We have missed out from the greatest sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We think the sunnah is a beard. Eh? The sunnah is a nice white thawb, very long beard. Amama pehen liya, ittar laga liya, mashallah. Bo pious man. What is he? Bo pious man. Bas. Kuch zahir mein apparently he dresses up. Good enough, you got a miswak, that's it. The greatest sunnah. Listen to this, my respected brothers. The greatest sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He infused this in the companions that were a minority, 250 in Makkah. And he said to them that the most important duty for you is, as what Allah says, بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَإِن لَّمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَ. That impart that which Allah has revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This goes to the companions. And this means he gave them this plan that you are to invite the people towards Islam who don't have Iman. What is it? Who don't have Iman. This was his proposal to the companions. Okay, now let us look at the long term. Let us look at our halat, our condition in this world today. We are how many? According to 2015 census that was taken, they say that the Muslim population in this world is 1.8 billion. What is it? 1.8 billion. When in reality it is much more than that. In reality it is much more than that. From 1.8 billion Muslims, Muslims in France, Spain, Germany, UK, Europe, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Africa, northern part of Africa, every part you go. 1.8 billion, say 2 billion Muslims. How many Muslims are active in fulfilling this important sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How many people are active da'i? That actively they are giving da'wat to the non-Muslims. That actively they are giving da'wat to the non-Muslims. The scholars say, if we are going to stretch, we can only say 2% of the Muslim community today is active in giving da'wat. How much? From 1.8 billion, how many Muslims are active? I'm talking about active, not sometimes in a blue moon you sit and you talk about religion and you talk about religion. No, 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 no. Actively engaged, that they are working but they have an agenda. As I think Mushtaq told me last week, that the Jehovah's Witness, their understanding is that they have to visit every household of this world. What is it? They have to visit every household of this world. This is their mission. They have to visit everybody. How many people are da'is? I'm talking about da'wat, not to Muslims. Da'i means da'wat to the non-Muslims, which the Sahaba did in Makkah Mukarrama, in Medina Munawwara. 2%. That means 98% of the Muslim community is still sleeping. What is it? Compare that to the era of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the statistics. Sahaba, 100% were all active da'is. What was the difference? We Muslims are 2% active da'is, and Sahaba were 100% active da'is. They were not scared of Abu Lahab. They were not scared of Abu Jahl. They were not scared of anybody. Allah's Nabi was not scared. He wrote letters to Hirakal. That is why we see this jump. Why do we see this jump? Did Jibreel alayhi salam come with Huzur alayhi salam? No, no, no. This was the effort of the minority, that the minority quickly became a majority. How? By giving da'wat to the non-Muslims. So from 250 to 2,500. In 23 years, Allah's Nabi, when he went for Hajj, he had with him 150,000-160,000 reverts. How many? How many reverts do we have in Masjid-e-Umar? One or two, bhai. In fact, if I ask the brothers here, how many of you can say that, alhamdulillah, I am actively giving da'wah to non-Muslims, and how many people have embraced Islam by my effort? Can brothers pick up their hands and tell me how many? MashaAllah, if it's very good, you'll make me happy. How many? How many can we claim? We don't. Shaitan has closed our doors from the real sunnah. What is it? From the real sunnah. From the real understanding of Islam, we are blind. And this is what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Sahaba, understood this. And then by the time Allah's Nabi was 63 years of age, in 23 years, all of the Arabian Peninsula had embraced Islam. Kitni badi baat. How many people have embraced Islam? How many people? Why? Because we Muslims today, we don't care. We want our team, Manchester, Liverpool, Leicester. Umar, what's your team? You're not into football. Bias, man. Yeah. So, we want our team. We will talk about everything of this dunya. Everything of this dunya. We will talk about Brexit. Oh, what do you think? How much will be bread? How much will be milk? How much will be business? You know, how will import, export be? Sabko pari hai. But we don't talk about Islam. We don't talk about. So our statistics is we are stagnant at 1.8 billion. What are we? Stagnant at 1.8. And we think that when we die, we have done something great. When in your whole life, you've missed out the whole picture of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tune kya kya? What did you do? You did nothing. You did nothing. When you look at the time of the Khulafa, I'm just talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then if you look at the Khulafa, to give you another example, if you look, da'wat was given to the non-Muslims also by dialogue, by good character. That is why the highest Muslim population in the world is in Indonesia. Indonesia. And Indonesia today has got the highest number of missionaries in the world working in Indonesia. Indonesia is the highest Muslim population. And Indonesia has got the highest number of missionaries working there. Highest number. And Malaysia also breaking down. But if you go there, no Muslim army ever went to Indonesia, Malaysia. How did they become Muslim? Peaceful da'wat. Peaceful da'wat. By business transaction. That Muslims did not cheat nothing. By just dialogue, talking, you know, when they went, people were becoming Muslims. Why? Because those Muslims knew the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, you know, my brothers are telling me, Mauli sahab, how can we give da'wah to a non-Muslim when Muslims themselves are weak? Are bewakuf? What are you talking about? Pagal? You don't even sit in the bayans of the ulama. What are you talking about? How can you even say that? Subhanallah al-Azim, my respected brothers, imagine if everyone here understood this and we started working, it would be great. There was this English teacher lady, old lady who became a Muslim, and she was questioned, how did you become a Muslim? She said, I was inspired by a few young Muslim girls that I was teaching. Subhanallah, how beautiful is that? So what were you inspired? What I was inspired is how they were adamant, they wanted to wear a scarf, and they wanted to keep roza, and they were very committed to their faith, and they loved Islam, and they would always say, we are Muslims. And that commitment that I had seen amongst their children, subhanallah, opened the heart for me to become a Muslim. How beautiful is that? And today, my respected brothers, what is our hal? Our character? The guys who are actually selling drugs are Muslims. In Leicester, the main people, drug dealers are who? Muslims. There was a time when you gave money to your Muslim brother, that was an amanat. Today people are saying, no, no, you know what, we can't be dealing with this. Things are so different, my respected brothers. Our akhlaq are not there. And that is why we are not managing to get those numbers. In Hyderabad, there's a masjid called Makkah Masjid. Old city. Makkah Masjid. That masjid was bombed. And in Hyderabad, when this masjid was bombed around 1:15, What happened is that the Indian police was looking for the one who did this, masjid mein bomb wagaira, Makkah masjid. And they got this young Muslim and they put him in prison in Bangalore. What did they do? That you are the culprit, you are the one who did this. So he was in Bangalore and they put him in a prison that was in Bangalore. Coincidentally, also in that prison, another man came who was a Hindu sadhu. What was he? A Hindu sadhu. So this Hindu sadhu was also there. So now you have this young Muslim and this Hindu sadhu. This Hindu sadhu got very ill in the prison and he could not walk, he could not go to the toilet, everything was hard. So this Muslim young man was taking him to the toilet, bringing food for him, doing his khidmat and doing everything. After a few weeks, this sadhu said to this Muslim boy, young man, Muslim young man, that you know, you're such a nice man of good character. What brings you here? He says, oh, they have put a blame on me. Mujhe mulzim theraya hai. Kya kaha? Mujrim nahi. Mulzim. What is mulzim? Ilzam lagana. Kya hai? Ilzam lagana. They have put a blame on me that I have got everything to do with the bomb blast. So this Hindu sadhu started to laugh. He says, how can you be part of that when actually I did that and my group of people did this, not you? Karne wala kon tha? Ye to main tha. So he says, well, you see, this is, you know, you want to look for a scapegoat. They've put me inside. So, okay. Now just by doing a bit of his khidmat, this sadhu was so touched by his good character that he actually went as a witness individually and he stood in front of the judge and he took the blame on himself and he said, this man is totally innocent. If there's anyone to be blamed is me and I am responsible for this. Now imagine, my respected brothers, that your one or two actions can change the situation completely. That is what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his companions. Dawat of good character. Dawat you give, but also with your good character. But what about the Muslim world today? If you see, Muslim world have been sleeping all the way. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had proposed this. So number one, unity. And number two, we have to constantly give dawat. And this should be our mission until our death. Kabir Das is a famous Indian poet. What is it? He does not know who his parents are. So he was raised by a Muslim family. Now, look at the level of how we are. We don't even give dawat. We don't even make an effort. Kabir Das comes from this Muslim family, as in he was raised by a Muslim family. But writing poetry, he wrote against the Muslims, making a mockery of them. He said, look at these Muslims, they break rocks and then they build a masjid and then they put a person inside who is screaming, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. What is your Allah? Can he not hear what you are saying? Aliyadhu Billah. He started saying this. Why? Can your Allah not hear? Now imagine, this Kabir Das did not even have so much of Islamic information that when the Muazzin is saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, he is not calling Allah, but he is calling the Musalli. What is he calling? Hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, hayya ala al-falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Who is, when we say Allahu Akbar, who are we calling? It is the call of prayer. What is it? But this man has got no understanding of Islam. You will be surprised, my brothers. That is why the imam sits on the pulpit and begs the people, come and listen to the bayan. Come and listen to the bayan. You will be surprised of what you can learn. And there are some people in India, when I was reading the kitabs, that they thought when the muazzin is saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, they are remembering Akbar, Badshah of India. What are they remembering? So some of them were saying that, you know, why are you people talking about Akbar Badshah? Is he such a great man? Allahu Akbar, Akbar. They thought Akbar Badshah, Allah. This is our problem. What is it, my respected brother? Our problem. If a non-Muslim comes to our masjid, we look at him. Eh? Kya wa? Arey bhai, let him come, let him see what we are doing. Let them ask questions. Bichare. We are reverts to Islam. My forefathers come from India. We were Hindus. We were all Hindus or whatever. I don't know. Wallahu alam, wherever you're from. Maybe Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in came and they made that effort. What did they do? They made that effort. So we have to work very hard before death, mashallah, die in such a way that you have done something. That you have done. And you do this, my respected brothers, that now you start working on the sunnah of Nabi-e Kareem, sallallahu alayhi. We need to increase the figures of 2%. Going all the way to 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, every Muslim woman, every Muslim student, every person who's doing business. Now, what is the methodology of da'wat? Very quickly. How are we supposed to give da'wat? So, this is taken from the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number one, we are told Allah's Nabi said, give da'wat to the non-Muslims. How should we do it? Number one, as Muslims, we should become walking, talking Muslims. What should we be? Walking, talking, proper Muslims. We should become Muslims in such a way that when the non-Muslims see us, they feel that now we are safe because we have a Muslim with us. They feel that we are safe. If a young girl was in a bus alone, and if a Muslim comes in that compartment or in that train, whatever, she feels I am safe because now a Muslim is here. A Muslim will never harm me. Allahu Akbar. So as Muslims, we have to be people who have got good akhlaq and we are walking, talking Muslims. We are giving da'wat, whatever we are doing. In our street, you see, our young Muslim boys that have got crappy cars, what have they got? But they exhaust and when they are accelerating, it's like as if it's an Emirate flight. What is it? And they are driving so fast on that street. Main to dua karta hoon, Allah kare police unko pakar le. People who are sleeping in the night, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, they want to show off. Who are they? Muslims. And you know how they drive? Like this, leaning on the window. Haath ke saath. Arey bewakoof, accident hoga, tera khopra ur jayega. Abhi koi jihad ke liye kahe, to you're the first one to run. Ladki ki tera choti yahan banayi hai, you like a girl, your face is like a girl. Mard ban. Kya hai? Mard ban, bhai. You giving takleef to people. Is this what our youth are? Driving fast cars, what? Is this your own money? Tere baap ne tujhe paise diye the. Tere paise the. Drive slowly. Drive with adab. Don't break the law. Parking on Evington Road and you're driving and you're a Muslim. And if somebody hoots at you, you stop the car. Come, I'll fight you. Are? You are blocking the whole traffic. And you have the nerve to fight that person. Shaitan. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Are these the Muslims, my respected brothers? What akhlaq of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Sahaba-i kiram ajma'in were people who showed akhlaq in such a way. Tabi'in, tabi tabi'in. People said these are the best of the best. Number two, display your iman and Islam everywhere. Number two, da'wat through your business. What is it? See, when you have a business, when you're a businessman, you get an opportunity to meet people who are not Muslims and people who are very intelligent. You can sit with them. You have food with them, dinner with them. This is such a good opportunity that you can talk to them about your faith, about your religion, that by you can come to our masjid, that this is who I am, that this is what I have to pray. And mashallah, your business should be such that free from cheating. What is it? Free from? No deceiving, no cheating. Straight, mashallah. Your business is clean, that they say that no, we don't need to go to China, we will go to the Muslims to do business. Because they are the most truthful. What are they? But we have to work very, very hard.
Number three, how do we give da'wat? Khidmat-e khalq. What is it? Khidmat-e khalq means to serve humanity at large. Even if they are non-Muslims, we are to serve them. Serve them. Do something that they say, mashallah, you know what, we are indebted to the Muslim community. Mashallah. I know of a Muslim brother who's got a business. He was telling me, he says, Mauli Sahab, you know, in our factory, we have a lot of people who come for chanda. Alhamdulillah, we give chanda to them also. But then one time, we had a group, an organization that were non-Muslims that came. So I came and I sat with them. And they said that, you know, you are businessmen and we are here that we want you to support us. So we want you to support the blind dogs. What is it? We want you to support the blind dogs. So each dog that you support is, you know, 150 pounds, 200 pounds. And that pays off towards, you know, whatever they need to train that dog and whatever they have to do. And that dog will then be a support for a blind person. So we are looking for finance. And so mashallah, this businessman, Muslim, he took on a large amount and gave them the money. And he says, Maulana, the way they were thanking us and the way they were telling us that, you know what, we've been to so many people, but you as Muslims, you have given us the most money, the most support is from you. And they are writing letters and thanking the Muslim community, and it has completely changed their perception of how they view Muslims. Just by looking after dogs. Okay? Bhai, tumhari zakat, tumhara saath musalman ko de. Lekin kabhi kabhi mauka mile to kya hai? There is a roundabout. Who is going to sponsor this roundabout? Let the Muslim community sponsor this. MashaAllah, I think somebody sent me an article. The Islamic Dawah Academy had sponsored some equipment, tools in the hospital. Incubator for the hospital. And there it was written, donated by Islamic Dawah Academy. Allah jazai khair de Maulana Salim Dorad sahab ko. And mashallah, these are people who know how to do business. At large, you have to have your numbers, your name. Park mein seat hai, mashallah, Musalman is sponsoring. Cheap, not too much, not expensive. But at least you are doing khidmat of khalq. What are you doing? Hamare ek dost the from Portugal, Musa bhai, Mehman the. Every year he would get 150 people married in India. How many? Girls, boys and girls, who could not afford to get married. 150. Samulagan, we call it. Samulagan. Mashallah. And he was telling me, he says, Musa bhai, Allah give him Jannatul Firdaus every time, 150. And he would give them cupboards and beds and everything. We call it dej. You know, they call it dej. It is their system. So he gives everything to them. Makes their nikah, boys and girls. He says, Mauli Sahab, if they are 120, 30 from the Muslim community that I am getting married, then 30, 40 are from the Hindu community. The Hindu community I am also helping. And this Hindu community, by helping, when Musa bhai comes, they actually bow down and touch his feet. What do they do? Now, how easy it is for a person to give da'wat, how easy it is. When I went to Malawi and I went to Zambia, I said to the families there, I says, you know, this boy has been working for you. The father has been working for you, washing clothes, bichara. The maid that is there. Have you ever spoken to them about Allah and His Rasul? Have you ever sat with them and explained to them that give them doubt? Oh, Mauli Sahab, you don't know, it's very... I said, bas choro yaar. Yaar, aise aadmi se kya baat kare yaar? وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. You waste of time. What are you? You just do your braais and barbecues, and in Malawi and Zambia, rip off the indigenous population. You become filthy rich and bichare, just start going to jamaat bas. What have you done for your community? For the people there? What have you done? Kabhi kiya hai? And you look at the Christian community, hospitals and nurseries and schools, and what are we doing? Humne kya kiya? The person who's been working for us, his father we know, the grandfather we know. But have we talked to them about Iman and Islam? If you have, good. If they say no, good. Okay, you've done your duty. Bas, now go somewhere else. But have you done your work? That is why, my respected brothers and elders, the tragedy is 98% of the Muslim world today is sleeping. Wallah, 98% of the world is sleeping. We have an Islam information center in Leicester, alhamdulillah. I sometimes go to many parts and visit ulama and I plead to them. I says, you know what? Deen ka kaam ye hai. Open up these centers in London, in Glasgow, in Birmingham, in main cities. This is what you have to do. A few days ago, I had an 18-year-old boy, bichara, Hindu. And he's telling me, Maulvi Sahab, you know, I want to accept Islam. What I have to do? And I have a few questions, this and that. MashaAllah, in that majlis, you could see tears in the eyes, a young boy. And he says, and he said to me, yes, I want to embrace Islam now. The time has come. Because if I delay, I'm scared. If I walk out from the center, just say death comes to me. I get a call today. This girl, bichari, naam main nahi leta, because he's very sensitive with the Asian community. You have to be careful. Oh, Maulvi Sahab, you know, I want to know about some Islam, this and that. Ladki hai wo. How, what are we doing? Imagine, my job is here. My only visiting people is Muslims. Mujhe to kabhi lagta hai yahan chhod kar wahan bahir jaun. Because that is where we have to work. The brothers are there. Why don't we give da'wat? Why don't we talk about Islam? Tragedy. We are missing out from the most important sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sadly, even alims are sleeping. What are they doing? Even ulama are sleeping. Forgive me, I'm saying that with adab. But this is the real work in this current time. What we have to do. So many people are there. You talk to them about Islam and you see how they react. Allah opens their heart. Allah will open their heart. I told you in Indonesia when we went, I met a priest who was a Christian priest. He was a Christian priest and he says, I was sent to one island and all of them were Muslims in that island. The population of that island was 5,000. How many? 5,000. I made all 5,000 into Christians. I made all of them into Christians. 5,000, kitni mehnat. When I pass St. Saviour's Road, you see, the Jehovah's Witness with a rack there. What is it? They have a stand. And I think it's Jehovah's. I don't know which denomination, but the Christians are there. Sitting there. Yeah. I was once in town, this very frail lady. Sakarat mein hai wo bichari. She looked at me and she said to me, young man, you seem to be religious. I want to say something. Jesus is your savior. Maine kaha, Allah, itni burhi aurat batil ki daawat de rahi hai. Where is our ummat? Where is our ummat? Where is this ummat gone? Paak, this man priest. Then Allah ki hidayat to dekhe, Allah ki shan dekhe. Then this man got caught with a Muslim scholar. The same priest. This priest then became a Muslim. Then he went back to the island and he made all of the 5,000 into his Muslims again. And he's called Pa Qasim now. What is he called? Pa Qasim. Subhanallah al-Azim. Allahu Akbar. If I was to explain to you some of the stories of how Huzur alayhi salam worked, the names of how people embraced Islam at the hands of Rasulullah, at the hands of Sahaba, and their strategy and how they worked. Some of the historians have mentioned Allah's Nabi knocked at the door of Abu Jahl 1,000 times. How many? That his door was very close by as a neighbor. He knocked. Knocked. Kalma parao, isko kalma parao, kalma parao, kalma parao. Everything changed. This fire, this passion, this zeal is not there. As a minority, this is our duty. So we have to be united and we have to give da'wat. Some strategy was explained how we give da'wat. There's another part, there's a lot to explain. Inshallah ta'ala, in our next session, we will continue. What is our duty in a country like this? What are we to do? Inshallah ta'ala, logo ko bhi da'wat de aaye taake faida ho. Allah paak har ek ko taufeeq de. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سمعنا وأطعنا، غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.